Welcome to Money Grows on Trees.
Money does grow on trees.
A podcast full of practical, real-life money lessons that you wish you learned in school. Lloyd is a former lawyer turned lifestyle entrepreneur. In each episode, he'll be answering the tough questions around money, investing, and entrepreneurship to help you transform your money mindset and move you closer to achieving your financial goals. Now, let the class begin. Here's your host, Lloyd Ross.
All right, welcome back to the show, Money Grows on Trees podcast. My name's Lloyd Ross. This episode is titled, Five Financial Traps to Avoid. Okay, Five Financial Traps to Avoid. And I want to do this one because it's just a nice reminder. It's very easy. It's a slippery slope, the financial world. It's easy to fall in these traps. You will know them, I would think, but if not, I hope it's a nice lesson for you and a reminder of what to do. I'll explain each one and how I've sort of implemented them myself. And hopefully that helps you from avoiding the traps, okay? Sometimes, you know, Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's business partner, was very famous in the sense of he looked at all problems from the opposite way. So he would flip things. He says, you always flip it, you know, always flip it on the other side. Look from the other direction. And so looking at problems from a different viewpoint will give you different, you know, outcomes, or you'll think about it differently. So rather than try and be the perfect financial manager, okay, think about what it takes to be the most imperfect financial manager. So like, rather than try and be great, look for ways not to be dumb, if I can say that. So it's easier because if you can kind of know where you're going to die, then you don't go there. So it's highlighting the areas that you should avoid, so the traps, and so that you don't go there. So you can see the trap. And quite often, if you're looking at the traps, you can see that they're traps. And this episode is to show you the traps, okay? So the very first trap to avoid is really hooking up with the wrong person, so a life partner, some sort of, you know, marrying the wrong person for you. And by that, I don't mean just someone who doesn't have any money, of course. It's not about that. It's more about just getting tied up with someone who doesn't have the right behaviors, I would say. So if you marry someone who is kind of, you know, is lazy or perhaps has got some addictions and it's very difficult to fight those, or you don't have the same values. Okay, particularly values is very important. And you'll know and you'll know and you'll know because it will feel wrong and you'll just be questioning all the time. And there'll be a lot of drama. So like marrying the wrong person is a bit like when you get hitched up with someone, it's just drama after drama. They get addicted to the drama hook and everything is a drama. And in that case, you know, it's not normal to fight all the time. I know you may have heard that, like, yeah, it's good to fight because you get it out there and you know, have makeup, sex and blah, blah. No, it's not normal to fight all the time. So something's going on there. So if you're in a particular situation where you're like, oh my God, the red flags, like it's a drama all the time, then maybe it's the wrong person for you to build wealth with. And I mean, not just money, financial wealth, but all other types of wealth, okay? So marrying the wrong person can be a very gnarly experience because then later on, if you happen to get divorced, it's a big financial, you know, catastrophe effectively, right? The second one is a little bit easier to avoid, but people do it flipping all the time. Like, avoiding credit card debt. And I mean, like, look, if you've got $5,000 worth of credit card debt, that's fairly manageable, right? Like, you can do a few things, pay that off, even $10,000. But what I mean is getting more like $20,000, multiple credit cards, $25,000, $35,000, $40,000, $50,000. And I've experienced and I've had people, you know, I've even helped where they've had $90,000 worth of credit card debt. And of course, at those numbers, it's very difficult to get ahead and pay it off because the interest cost is so high. Because you've got 20% credit card debt interest, that's the cost of the debt, and then you're trying to pay the interest, and then you can't even get rid of the principal. And then when you do pay it off, you feel like you want to reward yourself by re-spending the money, so you become like a credit junkie, okay? So the whole idea of that is to have one card, 5K max, pay it off every month, and that's how you manage that, okay? So that's one trap to avoid. And it's a behavioral thing. You go back in the show, you'll listen to some of the behaviors you want to lean into to get around that. The third one is a large mortgage, and it's very tricky to know what's a large mortgage or not, because usually when you buy a house, it's for all the emotional reasons. No one typically does it from a logical reason. Most people are buying a house because it's emotional, okay? Security, keeping up with the Joneses, nice place to live. It's a bit of lifestyle creep, okay? And I've had people message me literally on Instagram and say, hey Lloyd, you know, I've got this house and I don't know what to do. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, why'd you buy the house? And oh, we wanted to have a place to live and security, but now it's costing me a bomb to, like, you know, pay the mortgage. Interest rate's gone up to 7%. I'm it's making me, you know, worried and anxious, and I can't meet the repayments. You know, that happens more often than what you think, right? I engage a lot of people around this space, and that's a big thing that happens to them financially, and they get a bit stuck. And so obviously the solution is sell the house, of course, right? If it's really crumping your freedom and, you know, causing you anxiety and stress and literally taking out your money and you have nothing left, that's not a good position to be in. There's nothing safe about that. Okay, so obviously the big solution is to sell if you can get, you know, what you need for it, and it's not going to put you in a worse position, and then you can restart, you know, you can start again, put it down to a lesson, right? Experience. And I have actually seen people do that and come out really well. In fact, in my life, there's certain times where I've done certain things, like sold certain things, to move past the anxiety and move into a position of financial strength. And it's typically always the best decision. But it's a personal decision you've got to make for yourself. But it's very easy to bite off more than you can chew with a mortgage, because you go into the bank, and of course, their job is to give you money, and they will lend you the maximum borrowing capacity they possibly can, because they have security over the property. So for them, there's not really any risk, because they can really just sell the property anytime and recoup the costs and the loan back. So just be aware, just because you can afford a mortgage of X doesn't mean you have to go get a mortgage of X. It's all about living within your means. It's a very, you know, important old philosophy around money, is live within your means, okay? Don't listen to those people say, live out your means, live without, outside your means. No, no, no. Live within your means, and that includes your mortgage, okay? So don't bite off more than you can chew. If you have, perhaps it's time to reset and start again. Number four is a new car. I don't know how many times I see on Facebook people like standing in front of their car, there's a big ribbon on it and it's brand new. I was like, what the heck? Like, why? Like, why? Like, you could go literally next door. There's usually other car yards next to those new ones, secondhand lots, and you can literally get a near brand new one through a dealer that's had all the checks and so forth, for like, you know, 60% of the price. Like, you just take the sting money out of it. Like, as soon as you buy a brand new car, it would appreciate drastically. There was a moment during COVID, I get it, where you buy a car and went up in value. That's very weird. That was because there was a disruption to the supply chain. But now, especially with the Chinese automakers, I don't know if you know this, but there's some seriously efficient Chinese automakers. Like BYD is one you'll see on the streets a lot, even here in Australia. But you'll see that they'll come to all countries and they will be able to produce cars for like 15 grand, 20 grand, really good quality cars. So, you know, your car at the moment, if it's not one of those, will probably depreciate fairly heavily. So you don't have to buy a brand new car. Just cool your jets. You can still buy one even with warranty on it, and you can buy something that has not been used that much, and you just take a bit of sting out of it. Like, for example, when we bought our car, there are a new car of what we have, I think, is a 200 grand now. I haven't checked, but it must be $200,000 to buy a brand new Range Rover Sport. But when we went to buy ours, I was no way I was going to go spend $180,000, $200,000 on a brand new Range Rover Sport. So I went and spoke to a guy I knew, and he has a secondhand car lot of prestige cars. And I weighed in and I researched, I look at the prices, look at the Ks, and I did my due diligence, and bang, when there was one available, I went down, traded our car in. I knew I was getting a relatively okay deal, did some, you know, did a reasonable amount of negotiation, but I wanted the car, and it was a secondhand owner, didn't drive it that much, and haven't had an issue with the car at all. It was simple to do, had all the warranties, the dealer did it all, financed it, nice and simple, and that was it. And I reckon, and we bought it for $95,000. So I think I saved, or we saved 100 grand buying one that was 3 years old. Now, 3 years is nothing. Like, how fast did 3 years go? And this car has been one of the best cars we've ever had, hands down. I love it. And it's going to last forever. Like, it's, you know, it's a 10, 20, 15 year car. Range Rovers, really, they age gracefully. So, you know, it will depreciate, of course, still. There's no doubt about that. But at least you don't have to wear the 100 grand depreciation cost. Now, of course, if you're buying something cheaper, the same thing applies. Just look at secondhand dealers before you go and buy a brand. You don't have to put the ribbon on it and put it on social media. You can take the sting out of it, and I think it's a more sensible financial decision, okay? Number five, the trap to avoid number five is, this is huge. Most people don't have this, which is unbelievable, really. I kind of don't know how they even operate through life. They don't have an emergency fund. It just blows me away. How do people plan for uncertainties? Like, if you get a speeding ticket or something for $1,000, or you get caught on your phone for $1,000, how are you going to pay that? Wouldn't that just wreck you financially if you didn't have at least an emergency fund of $2,000 or $3,000? You know, and I did read a statistic where like half the people in the world can't put their hands on $1,000. It's flipping. It's wild. I don't know how you don't have a contingency. So this is a massive financial trap. If you don't have some sort of a month worth of cash up your sleeve, 2 months, 3 months, it would be an anxious way to live, a very worrisome way to live, because you're literally living paycheck to paycheck. And if you lose your job, you're cooked. I couldn't imagine. You have to borrow off friends, move back in with your parents. Like, it's just have some financial, take some financial responsibility. Just have 1 month at least of emergency fund. Otherwise, you end up getting more credit cards, you get back on the credit cycle and you can't get off it. So the financial trap to avoid there, number five, is make sure you have an emergency fund. So, you know, these five things are huge. These are core things to look out for. And if you're looking out for these things and these are the traps and you're avoiding them, just by default, you'll do well financially. You don't have to be a genius. You just got to not do these things. And you save money, you really avoid the big catastrophic experiences. And that's what's going to make you richer, for sure. Right? So I hope that makes sense. If you've enjoyed this and you want to share this with someone and say, hey, these are the five mistakes to avoid, maybe it'll help save someone's financial future. If you can send it to them, that'd be amazing. Thank you for those who leave a five-star review on the show. Check out the notes section. Jump into our Telegram, lewistelegram.com. It's free. And jump into our Facebook group. Grab one of our books. Money Buys Happiness is our main book. I think you'll really love it. And it comes with a couple of free coaching sessions, some other cool bonuses like the 30-day money challenge. And it's only $9, comes with a free audio. So if you want to take that step in your finances and actually start implementing some of those lessons from the book, grab the book. It's $9 USD. And then you can get all those cool bonuses. Okay. If you're wondering why, people message me all the time. So why is it in USD? Because we sell to the United States, our book, and Europe, all over the world. And that's why it's not in Australian dollars. And we also have an LLC company in the United States too. So that's why. We are global, and that's what we want. We want to make a global impact. So if you're wondering why it is, because it prevents us having to recreate multiple websites and so forth. Okay, so it's just a caveat there. All right, awesome. So I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Share it if you can. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll talk to you in the next episode of Money Grows on Trees podcast.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, Money Grows on Trees, which you can find at LloydJRoss.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a review, and feel free to reach out to Lloyd on Instagram at LloydJamesRoss.